verses 1 to 12. This is the word of God. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.' Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have taken no bread?" But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "O you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves or of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let's pray. O Lord, we know that we are in danger from the outside, from those who would ensnare us in a false gospel, who would desire to indoctrinate us with false gospels. But we know that that threat is also internal, because our hearts are very susceptible. We know that the threat of false doctrine is both external and internal, for we have depraved hearts. And so, Lord, I pray that we, in examining our hearts, would beware and take heed, even as you've called us to. Lord, I pray against a Pharisaic heart. I pray against a heart that is legalistic and also against a heart that is worldly. But Lord, I pray that your gospel and Christ would be all to us. O Lord, guard us and help us then to take heed as we listen to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What was the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Well, Matthew tells us very plainly in verse 12. Jesus compares the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees to leaven, to yeast, the kind that is used in the making of bread. In his parables of the kingdom, Matthew 13, Jesus positively compares the kingdom of heaven to yeast. He says this: "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till it was all leavened." You see, the influence of leaven is all-pervading. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. The essential nature of yeast is that it spreads. It is pervasive and all-consuming, what we might refer to as the leavening effect. A little leaven, because of its potency and pervasive properties, has the ability to influence the whole. Now, in the teaching ministry of Christ, leaven is most often used negatively and not positively. It is most often used negatively, as it is here in this case, to warn believers of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, their doctrines. Dangerous doctrines, mind you. Because a little leaven has the potential to leaven the whole lump. The heart is sinful, redeemed or not, and ever in danger of being leavened by the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Paul the Apostle understood and was well aware of this danger, and so he warns in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven, not a lot, just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The potency and properties of Pharisaic leaven, combined with our susceptible hearts, make the warnings of our Lord all the more urgent. The danger of damnable doctrines, combined with our already depraved hearts, make the words of our Lord here all the more critical. It's no wonder Jesus raised his voice with his disciples here. He says, take heed and beware, verse 6. Verse 8, O you of little faith. Verse 9, don't you understand? Don't you remember, he says? Verse 11, how is it that you do not understand? And again, verse 11, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In the previous section, verses 1 to 4, Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They said this, show us a sign from heaven. That was their request. They were testing him. To which Jesus then proceeded to unmask their hypocrisy. He said this, you're asking me for a sign? You ask me for a sign? You who are deaf, dumb, and blind to the signs of the times? Signs have already been given, and that in abundance. And you dare ask me for a sign? Your insincerity is exposed by the fact that you predict weather patterns, paying close attention to weather patterns, but are utterly indifferent and unwilling when it comes to the very kingdom of God. Verse 3, Jesus says, you hypocrites. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked, he says, an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And so, verse 4, at the end of the verse, Jesus left them and departed. And if you can't already tell, Jesus is a little bit upset. After this encounter, Jesus and his disciples get into a boat and they make their way to the other side of the lake. And in departing from the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they moved quickly. And in their haste, the disciples, apparently, verse 5, they forgot to bring bread. They forgot to bring bread. A detail that they realized when they had come to the other side. Now, just consider with me the confrontation that just ensued between Jesus and the Pharisees. Just think through the demeanor of our Lord when they got on the boat. I think that was a quiet boat ride. And I'm sure you can imagine the situation. The battle just played itself out. Jesus is super quiet. He is demonstrably upset. And all the disciples are there. Some of you know what it's like to get into the car with an angry driver. And there are people in the back, closed quarters. It's awkward, isn't it? And so perhaps this boat ride was a bit awkward. Peter is thinking, I feel like I forgot something. Distracted by, again, Jesus' demeanor. And he is not about to break the silence about bread. This is the kind of tension that carried over into the boat, perhaps. And then they arrived, and then Jesus sternly warns his disciples. And he says this, not take heed or beware, but take heed and beware. An emphatic exhortation. Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You can hear his frustration, his righteous indignation. And Jesus then, coming off of the boat, breaks the ice when they arrived with a stern warning. And the disciples are like, I knew it. We forgot bread. I knew it. They heard the word leaven and they're like, I knew we forgot something. We forgot to pack bread. And so they're deliberating among themselves. But friends, they didn't get it. Again, they were slow to understand, slow to discern. And so Jesus responds to their deliberating with some tough love. Verses 8 to 11 says, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason? Do you not yet understand? Don't you remember? How is it? How can it be that you have forgotten? How is it that you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread? Jesus is demonstrably disappointed with the dullness of his disciples. Hence, all of the rhetorical questions. But it's in and through his disappointment that the disciples are brought to clarity. Look at verse 12. Then they understood. Friends, I think we all know a little something about this. This kind of tough love. It's when you love someone and you know that they love you, it's when you let them down and they express their disappointment. It is often at that very moment that clarity comes, when you realize the gravity of the situation. It is through their disappointment that your eyes are opened. Listen, when I was a kid, I was punished a bunch of times, spanked, the vast majority of which I do not remember. But I remember, and I can count them on my hand, the times when I let my parents down. Not that I was punished at the time, but their disappointment with me was remedial. Their disappointment was a way of clarifying and opening my eyes. And so too here. Jesus' disappointment awakened their understanding. Then, verse 12, they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Well, last week I introduced you to who the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. Both were hypocrites, to be sure. Both were wicked and adulterous, to be sure. Both were enemies of Christ and his disciples, both opposed to the gospel of God's salvation, propagating a false gospel. They were propagators of damnable heresy. And though they were united, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in their opposition to Jesus Christ, their doctrines were very different. Both were dangerous, both compared to leaven, but different nonetheless. And so here's what we're going to do today. Here's what we're going to do for the remainder of our time. I'm going to answer two simple questions for you. Firstly, what are the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? What are those doctrines? And then secondly, how can you avoid them? And please note, we must be familiar with their doctrine if we are going to avoid their error. You must be able to identify their error in order to take heed to it. And beware. It is, as I say often, knowing is half the battle. Knowing is half the battle here. You will remember from last week that the Pharisees, they controlled the synagogue. And the synagogue in the first century had become the center of the Jewish community. And so the Pharisees and Pharisaism, in large part, controlled and dictated how Judaism was defined and practiced. But far from teaching and practicing biblical religion, the Word of God and the Gospel revealed in God's Word, the Pharisees were legalistic. They were formalistic. They were ritualistic. And ultimately, they were hypocrites. They believed and taught that they were righteous. That a person becomes righteous and holy by keeping the law. They believed and taught that right standing with God, salvation from sin and God's wrath, was a matter of obedience, was a matter of law keeping, or of personal merit. It's not that they denied sin, or even their own sinfulness, but they believed that justification before God could be earned or merited by human effort. They were legalistic in their approach to salvation and sanctification. Legalistic in their approach to salvation and in their approach to sanctification. And so if salvation is essentially and fundamentally a matter of keeping the law, then salvation is achievable. Salvation is attainable. Salvation is meritable. If salvation is achievable, then salvation is up to man and not God. Thus, salvation is essentially man-centered. God, in other words, makes a way, but it is up to the sinner to earn his reward. And so, the Pharisees were the architects of a legalistic, ritualistic, and formalistic system that owned the day. And because all legalistic religious systems are man-centered, man's word takes precedence over God's word. And as such, the Pharisees added to the Word of God. We read that in chapter 15. They added their traditions. They kept and lived by, verse 2 of chapter 15, the traditions of the elders. And then Jesus says, quoting Isaiah in 15:9, that their teachings were the teachings and the doctrines of men and not of God. Theirs was an example of subtraction by addition, adding to the scriptures their traditions, their laws, their interpretations. And so the Word of God and the Gospel of God was covered over and concealed by man's law, by man-made traditions, by man-made religion and man-centered interpretations. Faithfulness then became a matter of, hear this now, faithfulness became a matter of doing something. Do this and do that. Instead of dealing with the heart, theirs was a religion of behavior modification and not of heart transformation. And when all was said and done, the Pharisees sat in the seats of authority. They determined by their own legalistic standard what was right and wrong. They determined who was clean or unclean, righteous or unrighteous. For example, it wasn't enough to keep the Sabbath holy, to rest and refrain from our weekly employ, to rest in God and devotionally worship Him. Instead, the Pharisees laid out rules and laws that dictated how far you could walk on the Sabbath or how heavy a load one was allowed to carry. They considered starting a fire or creating a spark. They considered that work. And so even to this day, in my Jewish studies program, when I was in Santa Barbara, the Jews that I was in class with, we're not allowed to turn a light on because there's a spark that is created when you flip a switch. They considered starting a fire work, or cooking a meal, or packing a bag. They even considered healing or helping a sick person work. And so, physicians, doctors were prohibited, according to Pharisaic law, a physician was prohibited from treating someone in need. And believe it or not, the Pharisees made laws about everything and anything. From how to keep the Sabbath holy to how to wash your hands before dinner. And if their laws were contradicted or disobeyed, you were instantly considered unclean, sinful, or unholy. And as such, the Pharisees were self-righteous. After all, they made the laws that ruled the day. And they themselves were their own shining examples of keeping that law. And to violate their traditions was to be unclean. What is and what are the doctrines of the Pharisees? Quite simply, legalism. Legalism in all of its shapes and forms. Take heed and beware of such teaching. Take heed and beware, beloved church. Beware of the Pharisees and their doctrine. Beware of legalism. Beware of legalistic religion. Beware of legalistic approaches to salvation and sanctification. Beware of people who talk about obedience before they talk about Jesus Christ and the gospel. Beware of all those who talk about sobriety or modesty as some kind of moral absolute without first talking about Christ and the gospel of God's salvation. Beware of those who tell you to abstain or partake without first talking about Jesus Christ and the gospel. Beware of those who emphasize a Christian morality or a Christian ethic without preaching Christ and the gospel. Beware of those who preach moral imperatives divorced from redemptive indicatives, who teach commandments before they teach promises. For Jesus Christ and the gospel of our salvation are the grounds upon which all gospel obedience is even possible, apart from which all of our obedience will be legalistic. Friends, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:2, as you well know. But before I get ahead of myself, let's look at the Sadducees. Let's look at the Sadducees. While the Pharisees were legalistic, we see that error. The Sadducees were anti-law. what we refer to as antinomian. Nomos in Greek means law. They were anti-law. While the Pharisees were super strict, the Sadducees were liberal. And as I briefly mentioned last week, the Sadducees controlled the temple and its services. And as such, they were among the wealthy upper class. If you controlled the temple and its services, then you also controlled the revenues that were generated by the temple and its services. And so they were among the political aristocracy of Israel in the first century. They were doctrinally rationalistic. They were rationalists, materialists. They denied the supernatural. For example, they did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. They might have said something like this about the resurrection. Oh, that's impossible. It's impossible. You ever heard that? Of course it's impossible. That's why we call it a miracle. The Sadducees were rationalistic in their approach, and as such, their doctrinal system and beliefs were man-centered. Because, you see, every rationalistic system makes man the ultimate authority. Man becomes the measure of all things. Man's rationale, his logic, his reason, his intellect, his ingenuity becomes the ultimate authority and the ultimate determiner of what is true and false. But how can, pray tell, sinful man be the determiner of absolute truth? How? How can a sinful, fallible individual be the determiner of an absolute or absolute truth? It's ridiculous to even postulate that. It's absurd. And while both the Pharisees and the Sadducees were man-centered, their man-centered approaches manifested themselves in different ways. Again, the Pharisees were legalistic, while the Sadducees were anti-law. In other words, the Sadducees were fleshly. They were worldly. They lived lavishly. Let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Satisfying the desires of their flesh. The Sadducees were hedonistic, living to satisfy their flesh. They were worldly and carnal. They looked religious. They talked religion. But they lived like the world. They too were hypocrites. Hypocrites of a different stripe, to be sure, but hypocrites nonetheless. And while legalism and worldliness might appear at first glance to be polar opposites, you might think, oh, legalism is here on one side of the spectrum, and then worldliness is over here on the other side of the spectrum. While they might appear at first glance to be polar opposites, I want you to see that legalism and antinomianism are fundamentally the same error expressed differently. Both are man-centered. Both are man-made attempts to deal with the guilt of sin and the reality of it. One simply deals with sin by denying it altogether. And so, there's no sin. And therefore, we're all right with God. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. The other creates a system where man saves himself from sin in order to be right with God. The same error producing two different outcomes. And as we think through legalism and antinomianism, please do not assume that they are extremes on either side of the spectrum. Do not assume that legalism is one thing over here and antinomianism or worldliness is another thing over here. They are actually, again, the same thing. And the solution to both of these extreme positions is the gospel. It is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Legalism and antinomianism are both extremes that are together on one side of the spectrum. And the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is diametrically opposed to both of those things. Biblical Christianity, Christ-centered, gospel-saturated Christianity, is not the balanced middle ground. Legalism, antinomianism, gospel's right in the center. No, it is not the balanced middle ground. Balance is a myth in this regard. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the solution to both. Biblical Christianity is not the middle ground. It's not the middle ground. Biblical Christianity is not the middle ground between legalism and worldliness. Rather, biblical Christianity is the solution to both. The biblical gospel is the answer to every and all forms of man-made religion. Pharisaism or Sadduceeism alike. The answer to the false gospel is the biblical true gospel. Christ and Christ alone. And I believe here at Pillar, we have a gang of recovering Pharisees and Sadducees. Now saved by faith alone in Christ alone, by the grace of God alone, for the glory of God alone. And as I said at the beginning, if we are going to avoid the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, if we are going to take heed and beware, we must be able to identify their doctrines. Before we take heed, we must take note. Before we beware, we must be aware of their doctrines. As Christians, then, we must both take heed and beware of external pressures, for there are those outside of the walls of our church who would desire to indoctrinate us. External pressures. But we must also take heed and beware of internal pressures, of our own legalistic hearts, of our own carnal hearts. Friends, the depraved heart is one part Pharisee, one part Sadducee. And the threat of slipping into legalism or antinomianism is both external and internal. And so we need to take heed to the words of our Lord here, to take heed and beware. Well then, how can I avoid? Here we are. How can I avoid the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, their doctrines? Firstly, and most importantly, and listen, if you're a non-Christian here today, as I exhort the Christians, listen to the gospel. This is the message of the Bible. This is true and undefiled religion. This is the very message of God's salvation to the world. How can you, Christian, avoid the leaven of the Pharisees? And might I add, how can you, non-Christian, avoid the damnable doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Firstly, and most important, and all others are auxiliary, meditate upon the gospel. Think through, concentrate on the studying the gospel, the doctrines of the gospel. Saturate yourself with the word of God. Meditate upon the gospel. Hear the gospel, non-Christian. And Christian, fix your attention on the person of God, His holiness. That's the first thing you do in meditating on the gospel. And then the second thing you do is consider the sinfulness of man, our fallenness, our depraved state. Thirdly, meditate upon Jesus Christ. Verse 17 of chapter 16. Take the words of Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Meditate upon Jesus, His person, His work, His life, His teachings, His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Think upon God, non-Christian. Think upon your sin. And think upon the solution that was sent for sin, namely, Jesus Christ. Fourthly, Christian, think through what biblical faith is and believe. Don't just think about biblical faith, believe. Think through and identify what biblical repentance is and looks like and repent. Don't just think about repenting. You don't just think about obedience. Thinking about obedience without obeying is disobedience. Think about and consider repentance, identify it, and then repent. Consider conversion and what it means to be born again and walk in the newness of life. Meditate upon the gospel. Study the doctrines of the gospel. Consider God, then fallen sinful man, then Christ the Savior, and non-Christian, respond in faith and repentance. And then, with gospel lenses focused, you will be able to identify with greater clarity those doctrines that contradict what you are meditating on. When you know the truth will set you free. And in knowing the truth, you will be able to identify and avoid that which sets itself up against the knowledge of God. How can you avoid the leaven of the Pharisees? Meditate upon the gospel, upon Jesus Christ. Secondly, how can we, must we avoid the The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. How? Well, let's take it from the mouth of our Lord. Look at chapter 15, verse 14. He says this, let them alone. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Listen, if you know a person or a teacher to be particularly legalistic or particularly antinomian, leave them alone. Don't mess with them. They'd be blind leaders leading the blind. In order to avoid their doctrines, just avoid them altogether. Don't put yourself under their teaching. Don't allow yourself to be influenced. Don't go to their churches. Don't read their books. Leave them alone. Leave them alone altogether. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Thirdly, in avoiding the Pharisees and the Sadducees, this is so important. Surround yourself with people who you know are not legalistic or worldly, but who you know to be Christ-centered and Christ-saturated. Gospel-centered and gospel-saturated. Oh, the blessing of godly fellowship. The blessing of a body of believers who sharpen, encourage, and exhort. Beloved, I confess to you that it is within this body that I find myself seeing clearly. And it is within this body that I am encouraged and exhorted to faithfulness all over again every day. The blessing of a gospel-centered, Christ-centered body of believers. Be very careful about playing the field, going to one extreme and letting your pendulum swing back and forth as you're trying to make decisions. Come to Christ and to those who have Christ at the center and the gospel at the center. You will find wise counsel and clarity there. Fourthly, ask yourself the why question. Ask yourself why. Why do I believe what I believe? Asians are not good at asking the why question because they do not want to be revolutionaries. They do not want to kick up dust. They just like falling in line. But listen, ask yourself why. Why? Why do I believe what I believe? Why do I do this or that? Why do I abstain? And why do I partake? You should have a positive reason for both of those things. Why do I live this way as opposed to that way? Friends, our hearts will reflex legalistically. Our hearts will reflex carnally. And so you need to ask yourself the why question. Why do you live by this or that tradition, this or that culture, societal norms, some kind of secular standard? Or do you have the gospel and gospel reasoning at the center of your decision making? Biblical foundations that will guide decision making. Don't be legalistic or antinomian. Friends, don't operate according to rigid programs. You become self-righteous. You become unbending and unwilling and without compassion. Our hearts will reflex legalistically and carnally. And so we need to regularly ask ourselves why. Return to the gospel and ask yourself why. Don't trust your heart. Jesus doesn't trust your heart. I read that in, I think it's in John 2. It says he didn't entrust himself to man, for he knew what was in all men. So be like Jesus in this regard, and don't trust yourself. Don't trust your heart. It is deceitful and wicked. Desperately wicked, says Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Above all things. Ecclesiastes 9:3, madness is in the heart of man while he lives, and then he goes to the dead. Don't trust yourself. I certainly don't. Trust you or myself, I should say. Finally, and we come full circle here. Beloved, remember that you are in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, remember that. And we're coming full circle here again as we return to Christ and gospel doctrine. Friends, it's about Him. Okay? It's about loving the Lord your God. Christianity is a person. It is not a list of do's and don'ts. Christianity is not regiment, but Christianity is Jesus Christ. Christianity has more to do with loving Him, living for Him, enjoying Him, than some kind of moral regiment. Why would we make and turn a person into a list of do's and don'ts? This sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Why would we turn the very person of God into things we do or do not do as defining us, Christian or non-Christian? That is absolutely absurd. We would and should never do that. Christianity is a person. Christianity is a strong desire for Christ. It is a dying to self, to follow Him. Look at verse 24 of chapter 16. If anyone desires to come after me, then let him deny himself and take up his cross and don't miss the object. Follow me. Some of us take up the cross as if that's Christianity. You take up the cross as you follow Christ. Christianity is not taking up a cross as an end in and of itself. That's masochism. Christianity is following Jesus Christ with strong desires, desires that transcend this life, and so you are ready to lay it down. Christianity is a strong desire for Christ. He is the beginning, the middle, and the end. He is the end and the means. How do you combat legalism and legalistic religion? How can you avoid the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Focus your attention upon Jesus Christ and the person of Christ. And if you separate life and obedience from the person we love and live for, then it is nothing but empty religion. It is nothing but Pharisaism. Beloved, our religion is to love Jesus. This is the first and great commandment. To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love, Paul said in Galatians, is the fulfillment, hear it, of the law. Love God, love your neighbor. Upon these two, the whole of the law and the prophets hang. So be legalistic in this regard about love. Love each other. Love God. Love Jesus Christ. This is biblical Christianity. And by this, you will be able to avoid the doctrines of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we ask you that we might grow. And faith and love and every grace might more of your salvation know and seek more earnestly your face. And whatever trial you employ to answer that prayer, do it, O Lord. Inward trials or external trials, employ them, Lord, so that you might set us free from sin and pride and legalism and worldliness. So you might set us free. So that we might seek our all in you and you alone. Oh Lord, I thank you for the strong warnings we hear. And I thank you for being so patient with us. For those who don't know you, Lord, I pray that you would have mercy and draw them to yourself. Oh Lord, I pray that the gospel would be clear to them. The holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. Christ the Savior, come to die and defeat sin and rise to conquer death and to offer eternal life. I pray that non-believers would hear and turn to the Savior so that they might be forgiven and live even as Christ lives. We thank you for our time. Bless our worship. In Jesus' name.